If you would, be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, the third chapter of Matthew, in verses 1 through 3. If you would, let's stand together and read the Scriptures in unison, Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Ready? In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of John came preaching. John came preaching. Some 400 years of silence have occurred between the closing of the Old Testament ministry of the prophet Malachi and the appearance of the ministry of John the Baptist. For 400 years, there has not been an authentic prophet of God. That is, from the time that God gave the first promise of a coming Redeemer in the Garden of Eden until the close of the Old Testament canon, he had always been faithful to have a prophet, a spokesman, to proclaim the truth of himself. Now, due to the sins of the people of God in the days of old within the nation of Israel, he has withdrawn his spokesman from the land, and 400 years of silence have transpired between the time of Malachi and the appearance of John the Baptist. Now, you can imagine what happens when a person gets away from the Word of God. How many of you can relate to perhaps even in your life as a Christian in which that you have laid aside the Word of God for a period of time and become so preoccupied with the temporal things of life that you soon began to have cloudy, uncertain visions of God? Now, that can happen in just a month's time, but here for 400 years there has not been a real spokesman on the scene. Now God is about to break through in mercy and to send His Son into the world in the fullness of time, where God will send His Son, made of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. But just prior to the appearance of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of God's redemptive purpose, He's going to send a messenger or a prophet to announce the coming of the Messiah. And that shall be none other than the person known as John the Baptist. I'd like for us to look at this text in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And we'll just break it up into three brief categories. In those days, then secondly, came John, and then thirdly, preaching. Here is the preparation for a person being exposed to the truth of God in Christ Jesus. In those days. What does that mean? What's the significance of that biblical term, "in those days came John"? We need to understand something about those days in which the Baptist arrived on the scene. What kind of days were they? Well, first of all, they were days of bondage in which that the hearts of men were being severely tested and tried, because the people of Israel were in bondage or subjection to the Roman rule. And they had not only been under Roman rule, but they had been under Medo-Persian rule and Grecian rule and the various other rules of the Assyrians. And now they are in bondage. They have not been able to worship God in the way that they had in the Old Testament era with the freedom. They had still some measure of a restored temple, some measure of the priesthood, but yet it was a day of severe testing and trials. They were in bondage. And as a result, they could not truly have a freedom of worship of God in spirit and in truth due to persecution from their opposers around about them. Secondly, these were not only days of bondage which tried the hearts and minds of men, but they were also days of barrenness due to this long interval of time without any prophet in the land, without any spokesman from God. Then it was a period in which the individual's lives were barren in that they had no spoken revelation from God. The book of Hebrews says that God hath in divers manners and sundry times spoken to us in times past by the prophets, but now in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. In those times before the appearing of Christ, if a person was going to have a fresh understanding of God to relate to the daily circumstances of life, they received that through the verbal spokesman of the prophet. And that prophet was God's man. He was the authority sent from God. But now, in these last days, the final prophet has come. We have Jesus Christ, the prophet that the Old Testament prophets have spoken about. And now we no longer believe that the role of Old Testament prophets is any longer in effect. That is, now we have the final Word of God given to us in the person of Jesus Christ as it is recorded in the New Testament canon of Scripture. So if we want a message from God today, we go to the Scriptures there and they tell us of the coming of Jesus Christ. But if you wanted a message from God in old, you had to go to the prophet primarily. And there he would say, this is God's will concerning this matter. And therefore that would be the Supreme Court of Appeal for the people of God. But now 400 years and there has been no voice from God. And the people of God have become barren and dry. And it was in that setting that here came a lonely man. Sort of an ascetic type of a person named John the Baptist, preaching not in the middle of the religious world in Jerusalem, but out in the desert, if you please. Wouldn't it be strange to our way of thinking today and the way that we are taught and conditioned in America as to how worship is to take place and how the churches are to grow and so forth? I wonder how John would have had any success at all out there in the wilderness. I was taught in school that if you want to reach people, why, you'd better go right downtown where they're at. It's a measure of truth in that. But John did not come on the scene and go to the temple. Instead, he went out into the wilderness in a reforming era, and the people were drawn to him rather than John going into the midst of the religious world. And so John came. He was ripe. It was a right scene because there was no spokesman from God and the people wanted to hear a word from God. Now those days were not only days of bondage, not only days of barrenness, but they were days of political unrest. Upheaval was going on. Rome was in its declining era, had already passed its era of greatness. And now then one politician coming on the scene after another was causing a great upheaval in the uncertainty in the rule in the government. Now, whenever you have uncertainty in government rule, you have times of unrest. Beloved, how often we overlook the prosperity, not just materially, but in the peacefulness which we have here in our country, in contrast to living in El Salvador and some of these South American countries, where it seems like that every 60 days to 90 days there's a new political overthrow and the leaders are killed and another group takes over. What would it be like to live in that time, in that kind of a world? What would it be like to live in a world in which that you were in bondage? A world in which that you were in barrenness, no answer to the problems of life? In which that political unrest and upheaval was such that you didn't know whether your life was going to be there by the end of the day or not. These were those days in which that John was sent in the scene to minister. And not only were those days, days of bondage, days of barrenness, days of political unrest, but they were also days of laxity, very little understanding of the Scriptures, very little knowledge of what the Old Testament Scriptures really said. Laxity, people not really understanding or knowing how to approach God's dealing in the Scriptures. We live in similar times in which that the masses misunderstand the Scriptures. They read the Scriptures, some do. But Jesus told the religious people of that day, He said, you do read the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. But they do not understand the Scriptures. He would tell the Sadducees, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. And beloved, if a person's going to have any understanding of life and the complex problems of human relationships, they're going to have an understanding of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the answer to the philosophies of life. When it seems like that we live in a world of moral upheaval and corrosion all around us, and all the different philosophies which have attempted to answer the ills of our age, there's the one final bedrock that we must come back to, and that is in the midst of all of the upheaval in family life, in church life, in government life, in political life, that there is a God who is still on the throne, who is ruling over all of this. This is the solution. This is the answer that can give us stability in the midst of a time of unrest. Now, some who may be here this morning, you may not be able to relate to that in that you may have a relatively peaceful existence. You have a rather secure financial situation. You have a secure home, perhaps. You have a secure occupation. And you live in a secure country which is protecting you from invaders from afar. You may have a secure health for the moment. And therefore, when you hear what we're saying today, it may be difficult for you to relate to a period of time such as the time in which John the Baptist came to minister. And therefore, the Scriptures may not have as much understanding to you. But may I exhort you that those periods in your life are not destined to remain that throughout the period of your life. You will go through changing seasons of time in which that everything which may seem so secure today may 30 days from now, or yea, even a week from now, even before the sun sets this evening, something may be brought into your life that will so knock the props of security out that where will you go to find some answer to replace that stability? Will you go away as Jesus asked His disciples, who were beginning to leave His teachings? He said, will you also go away? And what was the words of Peter? To whom shall we go? Where will you go to in days of health declining? Where will you go to in days of financial setbacks? Where will you go to in days of family stress and strife? What will you look to? You need something to grant you some stability. And God has spoken to us in His Word that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the storm, there is one who is yet in absolute control over all the situation. Now then, that may not ease the pain that you're hurting at this moment or at that moment, but it will also, at the same time, give you some stability. God does not bypass our humanity in His dealings with us. When someone dies that we're close to, we weep. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And yet, at the same time, it was that God-man who knew that He was going to raise Lazarus from the grave. So when calamities come in those days, it will not necessarily bypass the pain and the hurt. But it is a great comfort to know that there is one who is in control of all the pain and the ills of this life. Jesus is on board the ship. So in those days, John came, days of bondage, days of barrenness, days of political unrest, days of laxity. And then there were also days of division. Division in the religious realm. Judaism, God's people, divided up into all different types of sects and divisions. There were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the various groups, the Zealots, all professing to represent the truth of God. Some proposing overthrow of Rome, some proposing pacifism, some believing the Scriptures like the Pharisees, some not believing the Scriptures like the Sadducees, who did not affirm any positive doctrine. What the Sadducees were noted for was for their denial that you could know anything to be true. And therefore, when the division of the religious world was so divided, in that circumstance came one man named John to preach. How would you like to have his task? How would you like to have been given a pulpit like that? Not there in the center of religious activity in Jerusalem, but out in the desert. How would you like to have been assigned that opportunity? I would also bring your attention to this. In the darkest days, at the darkest hour of the night, is usually when God breaks through in light. Read your Scriptures and see what happened at the midnight hour so many times in the Scriptures. Read what happened in the darkness of the night physically, how many times God met with His people. In times at night, in times of darkness, God met with His people there. And in those days, it was also days of mercy, for Jesus came. Jesus came in those days. And just prior to His coming, there was someone who was given the task to run ahead of Him and to cry out, "There is hope and deliverance on the way. These are perilous days in which that we're living. But there is coming one who is going to give us stability in these days." That was John's message. Now then, having looked briefly at those days, let's look next at the words, "In those days came John." Came John. John came upon the scene. Who was this individual? Hold your finger there in Matthew chapter 3 and go over to John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John. Now, of course, this is not John the Baptist who wrote the Gospel of John, a different person. But John is going to introduce us afresh to the Baptist in verse 6 of John 1. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Who was this man named John the Baptist? First of all, the Scripture tells us here, he was a man. God did not send an angel to announce the appearing of Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel. True, it was an angel that He sent to Mary when Mary was to bear Jesus. When Jesus was born, there were angelic messengers sent to the shepherds bearing good tidings. But God has never ordained for the angels to preach the good news or the gospel. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and God has ordained that human beings preach to other human beings. There was a man sent from God. Now, what was this man? I would draw your attention to the observation that this man was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man. He was a man. He was a man which had inherited the same sinful nature from his parents that each of us have inherited from ours all the way back to Adam. John did not come as a perfect example. He did not come as a sinless example, but God was pleased, instead of using a sinless angel, to use a sinful man to relate to the needs of human beings. So God did not send someone who was perfect, but He sent someone who He was going to use. It was a man sent from God. I would have you to stop just a moment and reflect upon this observation. But if you are looking for a perfect church or a perfect preacher, a perfect spokesman of God, you're looking in the wrong world right now. You'll never find one. And God has never ordained for there to be one in this world. God has only sent one sinless man for our example, and that is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not look to John, for he was not that light. He was sent by God to bear witness unto that light. It is one of the most difficult things to be not only a husband and not only a father, but also to be a pastor or a preacher at the same time. You know why that is? Because I have to get up here and speak of the perfect example. And yet at the same time, I am an imperfect example of what I'm speaking of. When I get up to speak, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do these various moral ethics, then here I have to confess with a conscience, I am not the light. I'm not the perfect example. And yet I have a wife, I have children who are looking at me. And I have people that sit under my ministry who look at me, and the longer they look at me, the more they see my imperfections. Now, this is not my first Sunday with you. Been here 3 or 4 times already. But I'll guarantee you, if you haven't seen some cracks in me, you just hang around. You'll see some. And if you don't see them real close, well, you come and you talk to my wife, and she'll point them out to you, all right? And my children, they'll point them out to me. And they'll be right because there's cracks in my armor. Cracks at time in which it almost makes me so burdened to stand and to preach on a given subject because I know that I need grace in that area. And yet God says, this is my message today. Go and tell the people what this need is. And yet I'm the one which stands in the greatest need. I am the poorest example of what needs to be improved upon. But yet we would remind you, God did not send a sinless angel. He did not send a sinless man, but He sent a man named John. And that man came preaching. Now there was a man sent. We see John's humanity. But now let's look on the other side of the coin. With all of John's imperfections, with all of his sinfulness, which he would readily confess, of him saying, I'm not even worthy to tie the shoes of this one who's coming. I would have you to note next in the book of John, he was sent from God. There was a man, but he was sent from God. And beloved, that offsets some of our weaknesses as God's spokesman. I'm another human being. And I ask you not to look at my imperfect example. I can but reflect and point you to one who is that perfect example of what God would have you to be. In your relationships with others, in your relationship with God. But I would also have you to note that when John came, he did bear the authority of God. He bore an office. He was sent from God. He was God's man for that day. Those days, God prepared a man and He sent him out to proclaim His message. Then, look next. John not only was a man, he was not only sent from God, but his role was to bear witness of the light who was coming. The needs of the people were great. And to those who felt their needs, he pointed them not to himself. He did not erect some group of people around himself and said, now I am your answer. Follow me. But he continually pointed them to one who was coming. He said, I'm not the light. I'm not your Messiah. I'm not the answer to your problems, but there is one who is coming, who is that very person. And His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus will come. That true light will soon come into the world. Now thirdly, in those days came John. Now what did John come doing? And the text in Matthew says he came preaching. John didn't come telling stories. He didn't come with a great big band. He didn't come to try to make people laugh. He didn't come to entertain. John came preaching. This is the mark of God's spokesman. John came preaching. Now what did he preach? A very simple message. He preached, repent. Change your ways and receive the light which is coming. Repentance with all of its doctrinal understanding is boiled down to this. It is an awareness of one's own personal sinfulness and the need to be right with God. John came preaching that. And he said, in order to be right with God, the answer is in the one who's coming. John was a preacher. What is a preacher? Well, a preacher is not someone who tickles people's ears and knows how to win friends and influence people. A preacher, the word preach, means to herald forth a message. It is just not telling and giving understanding of a given subject. The preacher was the same word which is used to describe the town crier of old. It was the person who would run through the streets and crying aloud, "The king is coming. Prepare you the way. Get out of the way. The chariots are coming through." And he not only announced the appearing of a king, but he told it forth with authority. And he gave it as a declaration. Here the king is coming. John came preaching in that way. He didn't come dialoguing. He didn't come negotiating. He didn't come just exhorting. John came sent from God as an authority from God announcing that God was about to do something in a way he'd never done before. And that what God was going to do, it was going to succeed and to come to pass. It was the declaration of the work and the purpose of the Almighty God to redeem fallen sinners. That's what preaching is. And my, how much we need to get back to that in this day of barrenness, this day of confusion, to understand that gospel preaching is a declaration of what God has done and is doing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. John came preaching. Now, today, I come not in any comparison to John the Baptist. I come with all of my frailties. I come with all of my faults into a new circumstance for me. I know not what awaits me here, but I know with all of my heart that God has put His hand on me to bring me here. And I come preaching. I come bearing God's message sent from God to you as the people of God. And I come in a time in which that I come not telling you how much you need me, or how much you need this, but I come with the Apostle Paul in a spirit of meekness and trembling, recognizing the task which is before me and the responsibility which is placed upon my shoulders to preach the unsearchable riches of the gospel, to minister to you, to cry with you, to rejoice with you when the babies are born, to be there and to hold them. Rejoice with those couples. To be there in the times of sickness. To be there at the gravesides. To be there when families have problems. physically, spiritually, to be there to meet your needs. But as I come realizing that there's nothing magical in these fingers which I can transmit any of this. The only answer must come from the light which is in the Word of God itself. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. So that when I come to you in those hours of need, I'll not bring my briefcase in and open it up and say, "Here, I'm the physician which has the answer for your need." But all I can do is to come into your home, to somehow relate to you with a heart that is aching with you when you're aching, and to say, "Here is the light. Look unto Him. He's the author and finisher of your faith." I don't know what is in store for us. Isn't it sort of an exciting time, though? Sort of a time of wondering what lies ahead. If God know this, if God gives us any length of time here, we're going to see some people converted here. I know we're going to see that. Because it pleases God to save sinners through preaching. And God has always done that. May He continue to do so. I also know that we're going to see some times of sorrow. There's going to be some individuals here in our midst which won't always be here. God's going to call some on to glory. One will be taken, another one will be left. There'll have to be some needs met there in that hour. There's going to be some times of rejoicing, times of victory. But I'm glad for these days, aren't you? I'm glad to be able to be sent by God in these days, bearing a message that there is a light to give us understanding in perplexing times and seasons for our individual lives. For children, for young people, for unmarried, married, for grandparents, for all the different occupations in life. When it seems like that you're pressed every which way, I'm happy to be able to say, you search the Scriptures, there's some light and understanding for your circumstances. You pray for me that God might grant me the grace to be able to fulfill the duty to come preaching in these days, a message that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the ministry which You gave unto John, and how he came crying out, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I pray that You grant unto us this a measure of this grace to be able to preach with clarity, so that men and women, boys and girls, can see that Jesus Christ came to bear the sins of sinners. He came to die in the place of sinful men, so that instead of Your justice falling upon men, it might fall upon You, the God-man, in Jesus Christ, Your Son. And we recognize You are a just God, that You cannot bypass or overlook injustice, and that sin is injustice. It's the breaking of the law and demands punishment. You cannot wink at that. You cannot bypass it. But it must be punished. That it will either be punished in the sinner himself, or it will be punished in the sinner's substitute, which is Your redemptive purpose in Christ's death on Calvary's cross. I thank You for Him taking my place and bearing my sin debt, so that I might be reconciled unto You and receive the full forgiveness of sin. I thank You today for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which applies this grace to my life, changed my heart, gave me a new nature, is now working within, conforming me to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And when that day comes in which I either leave this body, or You call me up to meet You in the air, and I shall be given a new body, then and then only will I be able to worship You without a sinning heart. But I long for that. And I long for the time when I shall be able to pray before you and to stand before you without having to fear, without having to feel like that I am an imperfect man, that I shall stand fully in the moral likeness of your Son. I long for that day. I long for that day when I'll be able to be like your Son and to also be able to get along with all of my other members of this race. For they shall also be perfected in the likeness of Christ, those which have believed in Jesus Christ. Give us the power to come preaching that Christ is the answer to the sin problems of this world. In Jesus' name we pray.